Welcome back to Coastline on WHQR. Our topic today is an evaluation and a look at yesterday's election results. Our guests are Michael Franklin, from the chair of New Hanover County Republican Party, and Richard Poole, the chair of the New Hanover County Democratic Party. And just before we went to break, we do have some calls on the line, and we will encourage others to make a call right now to 910-343-1138. But we want to get to a couple of things that came up just before that break. And one was the governor's race, which looks like it's heading for a recount, right? It's a very close, I think, 5,001 or something like that,
votes, yes.
All that separates Cooper from McCrory. Is that an automatic process, or does the person behind have to request a recount?
I believe it's automatic. If they request it, they can waive it.
I think that's right.
They can decide not to have it, but it's automatically available.
And you're saying it's available during the break. You're saying it's available when there's a difference of, what, 1% between the winner and the runner-up?
Correct.
Okay. That's my understanding.
And in this race, it's much narrower than that. It's like 5,000. It's 0.1% or something.
Exactly.
Correct.
Okay. Well, do you imagine that McCrory will ask for that or not do the waiver?
I'm not sure. I haven't spoken to the campaign. I think it's definitely going to come down to, we'll know by the end of next week once all of our provisional ballots have been counted, and we'll see where that margin fluctuates. I think if he can close the gap, it definitely will be. But that's for his campaign to decide.
Do provisional ballots and absentee ballots and things usually have a large effect on the vote counting?
I would say not usually, but you never know. This is a different election. Nobody saw any of this coming. Okay. So I haven't seen numbers.
My belief is that the provisional ballots tend to break Democratic. So, and if that's true, then that process will result in the gap between McCrory and Cooper widening, lessening the likelihood that a recount would be successful.
Mm-hmm. But we should know within, what, a couple of weeks? Is that?
I hope so.
Hope so. Hope we don't have a Florida situation from the year 2000. I don't think anybody wants that. Let's go to let's see here. We think we are speaking to Doc from Wilmington. Doc, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm enjoying this program. My question is really for both of your guests. What effect, Mike, what opinion do they have on the effect of Roy Cooper now becoming the governor as it relates to the repeal of the HB2 bill? I know I'm a registered Republican, but I went out of my way to vote for Roy Cooper and encourage every Republican I knew to vote for Roy Cooper simply because I detest that bill so much. And I'm wondering if it's going to have any meaningful effect if this election is going to have any meaningful effect about getting that repealed.
Okay, Doc, thank you for your question. Let's go to Michael.
I think that's going to fall to the House now. We'll see what they feel about the results of Governor or Cooper being elected so far. And that's going to definitely be a decision that they're going to have to decide between themselves and see if they can repeal it.
Overall, there really wasn't much change in either the House or the Senate, was there, as a result of yesterday's election?
That's correct.
Was there any shift at all in the number of Democrats versus Republicans in either chamber?
I don't believe so. I haven't even gotten a chance to look at the totals. I was just following a few races, but I think we still hold a vast majority of all the seats.
That's my impression, yeah. And, of course, it would have to originate from the legislature. This is not something the governor can do himself.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, let me put a footnote on that, and that's that I believe there's pending litigation concerning HB2 related to constitutionality and whether it conflicts with federal laws, and that could affect the legislature's judgment about whether to keep it or get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Presumably, if they were to repeal it, Cooper would be behind that, I would think.
Yeah, that was his campaign strategy, so I would assume so.
He campaigned against it. Okay. Very good. Thank you for your question, Doc. We appreciate it. And we have another question here. Our phone number, by the way, is 910-343-1138. Talking with Richard Poole, chair of North Carolina, or rather New Hanover County Democrats, and Michael Franklin, his counterpart, chair of the Republican Party. And we have John from Wilmington. John, welcome to WHQR's Coastline. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Sure.
I'm a younger gentleman, and I think the election of Donald Trump really speaks to the moral decay, if you will. Because the way I see it, the things he got away with saying and not releasing his tax returns, people don't really care about that stuff anymore. And I find that interesting because I was looking at older campaigns and the history of those, and like I remember George Bush the First looked at his watch during the debate, and that was considered a huge gaffe because it looked like, oh, he doesn't care about people and stuff like that. So I just find it really interesting how things change and what people have come to accept over time.
Okay, John, thank you for the comment. Did you have a question for either of our guests?
No, that's it. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, don't apologize. That's
Thanks
fine.
For sharing that.
Thank you. It certainly is the case that it has been very, very different. Many of the things that we had accepted as sort of the norms of campaigning have been turned upside down, and it remains to be seen whether these are going to be permanent or a permanent part of our political life, or we'll go back to the old ways, or what?
I certainly hope not.
Well, as they say,
I hope that it's not a permanent change.
As they say, we'll see. You're listening to Public Radio, WHQR. I had a question for you to go back to our discussion about the judiciary, and I know Michael, you're going to have to leave in a few minutes, so I want you to be part of this one mm-hmm. also. You mentioned that the balance of power, now that Mike Morgan has been elected, Richard, you mentioned that it was going to shift from Republican to Democrat. I guess that's going to be a 4-3 split, but only now it's going to break in the other direction. Were either of you concerned about judicial races becoming partisan affairs?
I think they've always been partisan. Now you're seeing it more, especially on the Court of Appeals, where You see the
affiliation.
The affiliation of the judges. I'd like to see politics stay out of that, but I feel like politics is creeping into every part, every aspect of our lives these days. So the judiciary is next, I assume.
Okay. That's Michael Franklin from the New Hanover County Republicans. Richard, your thoughts on that?
I think the judicial races have become more partisan. Republican judicial candidates tend to brand themselves as conservatives. Why a political ideology is relevant to selecting a judge is unclear to me. Or maybe I should say I just think that's wrong. I think a judge should pledge to be fair and objective and to apply the law and to the facts. And none of those things is either conservative or liberal. It's just being a good judge. So the conservative brand calls into question in my mind whether that judge is doing the job that we elected him to do.
Mm-hmm. This being North Carolina, you don't see someone like Mike Morgan saying, like me, I'm a liberal, so it doesn't work the other way around.
Absolutely not.
You're listening to Public Radio's Coastline here on WHQR, and our phone number for your calls and questions is 910-343-1138. I'm Cleve Callison, sitting in today for Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Let's say hello to the next caller. This is Tori from Wilmington. Tori, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. My question is for Richard. Richard, you mentioned earlier that New Hanover County elected Mike Morgan, Roy Cooper, and Donald Trump, and you asked what they had in common, and I would just point out that they're male. I wonder if that might have had anything to do with tilting the election in New Hanover County in Trump's favor.
Anybody want to tackle that, Richard?
I really don't know. I hadn't looked at it through that filter. It's certainly true that they're all male. What do you think, Tori?
I truly think that there are some people who voted for Trump who would have voted for Clinton if she had been male with the same qualifications.
What was the vote in New Hanover County in the Senate race, Burr versus Ross? Do we know?
I can't give you numbers, but it was not close. It was like, I want to say 50 to 45.
Something like that. Yeah, 5-6 points.
In favor of Burr?
In favor of Burr.
Okay. So there's another mail for you. Tori, thanks very much for your comment. We appreciate it. I guess Tori is gone. If Cooper does become governor, to go back to the question about recount, how do you think his relationship with the General Assembly will go? Michael?
I hope it goes well. I hope they can learn to work together. They've got 4 years of each other, or especially two for most of the Assembly. It's time to put the politics behind and get back down to work. North Carolina's still got a long way to go. We're moving in the right direction, but I'd like to see us keep on going.
What sorts of things do you think are going to be part of the Republican agenda now? When you said there are lots of things to do and a long way to go, what would you see as coming out of the legislature?
I still think we're still looking at teacher pay increasing. We're still looking at saving up that rainy day fund, getting the state back on firm footing so we're ready to weather the next storm.
Okay. Let's say hello to the next caller. This is Ellen. Let me see if I can get her on the line here. This is Ellen from Ocean Isle. Ellen, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. My question has to do with the hate talk that we heard from Donald Trump over the campaign and the fear that he developed in the breakdown of our democratic process. That whole idea has taken over in a lot of places in Europe, and because of that fear, a lot of people have looked for a very strong leader, which can lead to things we don't want to see in a democratic country. What can the general public do? How can we assure that that process doesn't continue and that the fear of our democracy continue? Thank you.
Okay, Ellen, thank you for your call. Richard Poole, let's have you take a stab at that.
I think we've got to be able to talk to each other across party lines in a civil, respectful manner, respecting the differences between us. We need to find solutions, and that's our bulwark against the sort of authoritarian government that you are concerned about, and I am too.
Michael?
I think we're all concerned about that kind of government, but I think that's a strong leap to start comparing Trump to some of those dictators that I assume that's who she's talking about. But what we can do as the general public is to stay informed. There's a lot of uneducated voters out there that just watch the media and go. They don't do their research on the candidates. And I think that's how you stay informed and you stay vigilant and you watch for the signs.
Mm-hmm. This has been, frankly, a pretty tough election for a lot of people. There was some strong language from both sides. There were apocalyptic predictions of what might happen if candidate X was to be elected, and I know, and I've talked to a lot of people who've had to do things like unfriend people on Facebook because just the level of discourse and things like that had gotten too great. Let me ask, do both of you either have friends or work with people on the other side of the party, and has that put a strain on those kinds of relationships, this very tough campaign?
I have friends on both sides of the aisle, and I think what we've just learned is how to have a polite conversation. Everything doesn't have to go to the 10th degree immediately, that as long as you just stay respectful or don't discuss it and you just talk about what you have in common, you're better off than starting to just pick fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the don't discuss it is something I've seen people having a lot, because sometimes it seems the positions are so polarized there's not much hope that you're going to convince the other person of your side, so you might as well just sidestep the question. Richard, same question to you.
Well, personally, I don't pick my friends or reject them because of their political views. I care more about their character and how they treat other people. And although I've been avoiding talking to some of my friends in this political season, I expect to get back to them right soon.
Well, you two must run into each other fairly frequently. You were talking about the vote
walk. The run for the polls.
For the polls. Is that the sort of activity that maybe can help address some of these things and build some bridges?
I think that's a good example. We were both there at UNCW for Dr. Brubaker's run for the polls, and it was a great event. Everybody was very cordial. I saw the candidates on both sides of the aisle all addressing each other, talking to each other. I think definitely that's a move in the right direction.
And it does seem to me, I don't know if you would agree, that the level of angst and vitriol is lessened the farther down or the closer you get to localism. I mean, it's one thing to be mad at the head of the ticket, the person on the other side, but it's another to be mad at somebody that you see a lot. You know,
it's hard. I feel like it's hard to do that when you know you're going to run into them at the grocery store, and especially here in Wilmington, that's a very good possibility.
Yeah, very good. You're listening to Public Radio's Coastline here on WHQR, and we are taking your calls and questions at 910-343-1138. And I will say also, Michael is going to have to leave at our next break, which is coming up in just a few more minutes. So if you have a question for Michael, go ahead and let us hear from about that now. Richard will be with us for the remainder of this hour. Michael, since you are about to leave, I'll ask you this. What is next? What's in terms of organization and outreach or whatever it is that you're going to be focused on, what are going to be the priorities for the County Republican Party as we go forward?
I think the next is we saw some record numbers turn out at early voting, and to just reach out to those groups that haven't voted lately and to see why they became involved this time and see if we can keep them involved.
Where do you think – do you have a description of sort of where your core voters came from or
I don't. I
think
the
bulk of your support.
I don't, and that's the kind of the piece that's a bit curious. Is I'd like to see what that is. I haven't had a chance to dump the numbers, see which precincts pulled out versus who didn't vote in the last couple elections. So we definitely have some digging to do.
You know, a few weeks ago, the polls were predicting a big turnout and a big victory, maybe even a landslide for Hillary Clinton, and obviously that didn't happen. And I heard a lot of discussion on the national level about Republicans returning back, you know, after having put some distance in some cases between themselves and Donald Trump, they came back for that. Were you seeing maybe that kind of phenomenon here?
I definitely see that. And also we had a lot of Republicans disenchanted with the party after the last presidential election and moved out of the Republican affiliation. So I'd like to see which of those came back, I guess, home to say back to the core of what they used to believe in or used to follow in and see where they are now.
Mm-hmm. Several years ago, of course, Donald Trump used to be a Democrat, and he made some statements that probably Republicans at the time wouldn't have agreed with. Do you feel that this is going to move the Republican Party a little bit more toward the right, toward a more conservative stance, or will it go the other direction and maybe be a little bit more toward the center and try to include some of those people on the other side? Which way do you see that going?
I'm not sure. I think it's definitely going to – people are going to start taking candidate by candidate basis. Donald Trump's a great example of that. He's not what we would call our typical Republican candidate. But people came out and voted for him. They like the idea that he's challenging the media, challenging the status quo. So we'll see how that turns out for us.
Okay. I want to very quickly take a call here from Brooks in Hampstead. Bill in Hampstead. Bill, welcome to Coastline. You're on there. But please make your call quick.
How much impact do you think it had on Republicans being listed first on the ballot? The reason I'm saying that is Josh Stein is a strong candidate, won narrowly. Ingram was a strong insurance commissioner, was defeated. Same thing on education. And his comment is, I don't think Cooper's going to win because of HB2. I think he's going to win because of the association with the governor and Duke, and there's a big dissatisfaction with the association of concentration of wealth and concentration of power.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that comment, Bill. That's going to have to do with it. Yeah, did the listing party affiliation first, was that true across the board, or was that just in judicial races?
That is true.
That is true.
Whoever holds the governor's house is listed first.
Posts them first. Okay. Well, Michael Franklin, chair of the Republican Party of New Hanover County, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank
I know you
for
had
having
to go.
Me. I enjoyed it.
Appreciate having you with us here. Richard Poole from the Democrats will be with us for one more section of today's Coastline. Our number is 910-343-1138, and we'll be back.